you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. I'm going to be reading three verses, the 11th and 12th verses of the 34th chapter, and part of the 16th verse, and then we're going to look at one scripture in John, the 10th chapter. Ezekiel 34, 11 reads, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among them, among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." And the 16th verse part of it reads, "I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and strengthen that which was sick." And in John, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." A few weeks ago, Brother Verlin asked me to bring a message for the first Sunday of the month to the nursing home, and I was glad to do that. I think that's a wonderful ministry, and I actually will speak more about that even in this message. But I want to tell you that at the time that I began seeking the Lord and praying about that, God gave me two messages. And I told Sister Joanne, I said, "The Lord has given me two messages." I said, "One of these is for the nursing home, but I said, if Brother Rice has me preach in the church, the other's for this church." And I want to, if I were to give this a title, I would like to title this message, "From the View of the Shepherd." From the View of the Shepherd. You know, not very long ago, after one of the services, I was talking to Brother Roy Vines, or Leip, there we go. By the way, if I ever destroy your name, I have called Brother Verlin, Brother Verniel. I have said several other things in talking to my wife, referring to people's names. Brother Hogan, I don't remember what I said of your last name, but my wife looked at me and she said, "Do you mean Brother Hogan?" So I am horrible with names, horrible. What a wonderful blessing to be awful with names and be called into the ministry. You know how bad that is? Anyway, but I was talking to Brother Roy, and he began to tell me about his testimony. And he told me of a time many years ago when he was a young married man. He and his wife went and visited a little Pentecostal church in Elkville. And they were packed out that night because there was a singing. And he said they didn't have a home church yet, and they sat way off in the back. The place was packed. And he said, "We wanted to hunker down so nobody could see us." But when, at a certain point in the service, the minister got up, he came to the pulpit, turned and pointed to the corner of the church where they were sitting hunkered down. He said, "There's a young couple right there that need to come to this altar. We're going to pray for you." Now, let me tell you something from the eyes of the shepherd. Now, they came in that church. They didn't yet have a home church. They came in that church to try it out. They came in the church because there was singing. But they didn't come by accident. And they were thinking, if the people up here don't notice us back there, nothing's going to happen. We'll go through this service and we'll see what we think about this and we'll leave. But there's a problem with that when you come to certain places where the shepherd is. The problem is the shepherd loves you. And the problem is the shepherd knows his sheep. Now, a man might not recognize you. but the shepherd will see you every time. Glory to God. That verse that I last read, I want to look at it again from John, the 10th chapter. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Before this, though, he began the chapter by this way. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This morning, when I came into the house of the Lord, we had been praying, and Brother Christian Anglin began the service and called us to worship. And as soon as he began to talk, I began to sense that it wasn't just him talking. You know, there's one thing that's really wonderful about being children of God, full of the Holy Ghost. The shepherd is here and the shepherd is in. And glory to God, Brother Christian stepped up and I heard Jesus speaking. And I thought, this feels good. And the service began, and I was feeling real good as a sheep. Felt good. Because the shepherd was in. I was in the sheepfold. Things were going good. We were loving the Lord. He was loving us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to this. The third verse. To him, that is the shepherd, the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out and putteth forth his own sheep. He goes before them. His sheep follow him, for they hear his voice and they know his voice. Glory to God. From the viewpoint of the shepherd, oh, God loves his sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Glory to God. And you know something else? It's a wonderful thing when that spirit of that true shepherd is living in the hearts of the congregation and in the hearts of the ministry. Glory to God. When God gave me this verse, however, he also had some sobering things to tell me, some things that maybe would strike home to some of you. I want to tell you something that has been a concern of mine for years. I have lived in Union County in Jonesboro. I moved to Anna back in January of 1981 to begin my ministry. Back then, Brother Phil Eggleston and I were helping Sister Catherine Barker in the United Pentecostal Church in Vienna. She was like a mother to us. Wonderful example. Beautiful spirit. Lovely saints. Wonderful prayer warriors. But from there, the Lord led Brother Phil and I to other works. Some of those things were hard. And you know, I found out, sadly, that sometimes you're not welcome among the people that you think would love you. I can tell you about a time as a very young Christian that I visited an apostolic church in Chicago. It was an all-black church. I had never been there before. The one that had led me to the Lord, Brother Tony, that was his home church. I can remember pulling into the parking lot and there was high fences, like, I don't know, maybe 12 feet high with razor wire along the top of them. And a gate that you would lock at night. There were storefronts that had gates that were pulled across and locked. And there was the church. I pulled into this and I went in. And there was probably more than 200 people in the church. It sat a lot of people. And I looked around and I was the only white person in the whole place. And I sat there in the congregation, very self-conscious, and I thought to myself, I wonder if these people love me. You know, as a Christian, if you go into a strange place, and if you know the Lord, you don't wonder, will I like it? You wonder, will I be loved? You wonder, is the one that loves me here? Are the people that hear, do they love God? Will they love me? So I was sitting in that congregation of that all-black church, and something happened in that church, something that was a blessing and surprised me. If those people could have loved me more, I'm not sure how they could have showed it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those people, many of them were very poor. Many of them had come from very bad backgrounds. But Jesus Christ had changed their life. The shepherd had been looking for them on the streets of Chicago, and God had gloriously changed their lives. Oh, and they were ready to love you in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love going back there. Praise the Lord. In the text, though, that I started with and I started to allude to, back while I was living in Anna and later when I bought a house in Jonesboro, there were many years that were very lean for me. There were many years that during the course of my ministry, I would pray for people different places. We would pray for the sick. We prayed through one of the young assistant managers at Walmart through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost parking lot of the Walmart Supercenter in Carbondale on a Sunday night. Brother Don Williams, he missed our wedding, but maybe sometime we'll get him here. But the thing I want to tell you was, we didn't always have a place that we felt comfortable where to tell them to go. And I want you to know that sometimes God has a problem with that too. I'm going to read you some things. Listen to them. Think about this. This is the Lord's perspective on things. Not necessarily here, but things around. Listen to this. From the 34th chapter, from the second verse, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And he goes on in the beginning of the next verse, and my sheep were scattered. Brother Jesse Peterman, when I was first saved, first called me the bishop. He was an independent apostolic minister in Aurora. He had church services, a few of them different from the church that I went to. Brother Billy Calthorpe was my pastor in Aurora. Wonderful, wonderful, faithful man. A real man of prayer, wonderful example. Also, by the way, also fellowshipped with any believing Christian who was apostolic, regardless of their denominational background. It was good that way. Anyway, Brother Jesse Peterman, I called him on the phone. I think I told you about this. Told him my name, said I was coming. He gets up. At a certain point in the service, he said, we have a bishop visiting us tonight. Now listen to this. Then he says this. If we don't like what he has to say, we're going to sit him down. Now, at this point, I'm beginning to realize I, who have been saved less than 6 months, is who he's talking about. I'm thinking, oh. He says, but if we do like what we have to say, we're going to lift him up. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up again is it didn't offend me that he said that. It didn't hurt me that he said that. Because I knew that I was a child of God. I knew I wasn't going to do anything that was going to hurt anybody. I knew I wasn't a bishop except by name. And I knew he was a shepherd. I knew he was a pastor. I knew he cared about the flock. I knew that if I was something bad, he wasn't going to let me hurt anybody. Because he loved the flock. Because the one in him that is the heart of his ministry is the shepherd that feeds the flock, that loves the flock. Now, he was a very interesting preacher. I remember everything he ever preached because there was a certain shock appeal in Brother Jesse Peterman. He's in heaven now. I can, in my mind, see his twinkling, piercing blue eyes as he's adoring his Jesus. Glory to God. But the thing that I read you there, unfortunately, probably many of you know, there are a lot of places where there are Christians that say, I don't know how much more of this I can take. There are unfortunately places where if somebody asks you, brother, where would you suggest I go to church? You'd have to stop and think about it. Go, well, if you drive 35 miles, you can go to... There's another problem. I'm going to, also in the 34th chapter, let's look at it. Now, we're not going to stay on problems, but we do need to see God's perspective on this so that we see the beauty of it. The Lord always wants us to see from his perspective. Going on in the 34th chapter, he said that I would judge between the cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Now, in some congregations, the problems are not up here. Sometimes the problems are there. I have known, unfortunately, of many people, who gave their lives to Jesus Christ, got a start, and the people that were there didn't really want them, and they knew it. And I want to tell you a testimony that I heard about 3 weeks ago in this Walmart. An interesting one. There's one person that might realize this testimony before all of you. I was told by a Christian in that Walmart of a time that there was a young man that she taught in Sunday school who was thought to be hot by the young girls of the church that she went to, and her own sister was kind of a heavy set woman and was not well treated by the other young people. They didn't sit with her. They made fun of her. They left her alone. And, you know, they just kind of, but they liked this boy. And there was a certain time when there was a dinner and her sister went over to sit at a table by herself because she knew none of the other young people would want to sit with her. And that young man went over and sat beside her. And the girls said, hey, no, come over and sit with us. Nobody sits with her. And that young man said, I'm sitting with her. You know who that is? Yes, you do. That was Brother Rice. Actually, I think maybe before you backslid. I don't know how young you were. I know you were young. And you know something? God saw that. The shepherd saw that. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. You know, Brother Jesse Peterman also preached a message that there's two kinds of backsliders. He said, never judge a backslider, because there's two kinds. There's one who doesn't maintain their relationship with God, begins to desire worldly things again, feeds their hearts with that, gets hardened, doesn't want the Spirit of God anymore, and leaves. But he said there's another kind that gets, is one that's gotten hurt. And they get hurt, they get harmed, they get offended, they fall away. Maybe they afterwards don't look like a Christian anymore, but they still love God. There's still a place in them. And the shepherd sees them. And the shepherd sees them. And he says, I want them to come back. I want them to come to a place where they can be healed, where they can be loved, where they can be fed, where they can be welcomed, where they can flourish. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. From the viewpoint of the shepherd, from the viewpoint of the shepherd, you know something? I thank the Lord. You know, we talk, I mentioned the word backslider because in this scripture, it's talking about some that were driven away, some that were scattered. The other thing is, like I said, sometimes you won't recognize them by the way they look. But if you'll be full of the shepherd, if you'll listen to the shepherd, if you'll be in tune with the shepherd, if you'll be ready to gather with the shepherd will lead you to them. The shepherd will make himself known to them. In the Great Commission in the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus told them to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he went on, the Bible says, and so they went everywhere and preached the gospel. But listen to this. And the Lord went with them, confirming their word with signs following. Now let's look at this from another more personal standpoint. Jesus knows where all these sheep are. We don't. But Jesus knows and sees everyone here. There's no one here. Like, just like Brother Roy told me about that time when he was sitting in the back. Maybe the people wouldn't have seen him. But someone full of the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, there they are, call them up. Because he saw them. Jesus does see us. There's times that we might not wonder if anybody sees us at all, knows at all what we're going through. Jesus sees us. And he sees them. Now, Jesus sees us when we're here. And Jesus sees us where we live. And Jesus sees us where we work. And Jesus sees our neighbors that he's wanting to draw. And Jesus sees the people that we work around that he wants to draw. And Jesus sees the people in the school that we go to that are going to be his sheep that he wants to draw. And you know what those sheep are waiting for? To hear his voice. To hear his voice. To hear Jesus. In the first service I ever came to, that was a Pentecostal church, Apostolic Pentecostal, and you know, I think it's kind of funny that you mentioned that this morning about the word apostolic. I'm going to church with a guy that invited me to church. He had invited me the Sunday before, said he was going to pick me up. I go to the parking lot on the other side of the dorm, going to SIU at this point, at Carbondale. Wait in the parking lot a half an hour early. No one shows up for me. I waited 20 minutes later. Nobody showed up. I'm heartbroken. I said, he invited me to church. He didn't come get me. Here I am. So I ended up wandering across the campus to a Lutheran church where they gave me a program. No offense to any Lutherans. And they gave me a program. They said, turn to service number 72. And we went down through all the whatever it was on that. And I went away feeling just absolutely just like, I can't believe he'd do this to me. And that Monday, we're walking across the footbridge over 51 there, and he's coming one way, I'm coming the other way, and at the same time, we said at each other, where were you? And I said, well, where were you? I was in the parking lot. You say you're going to pick me up. He started laughing. He said, I don't have a car. I came around the other side. I said, well, he said, now. He said, we have service on Tuesday night. You want to go Tuesday? I said, yes, but I'm going to your house. I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to you. And so Brother Tony and I walked from SIU's campus all the way to the north side of town to Chestnut Street to where there was a little apostolic Pentecostal church. And he mentioned that that's what it was. And I looked at him and I thought, apostolic, that almost sounds like a Greek Orthodox something church. He was I could feel the Lord with him. I didn't exactly know it was the Lord, but I knew it was something that I liked. And on the way there, he said to me, I prayed to Jesus and you know what he told me. Now I want to tell you something about walking with the shepherd. If you want to gather with him, there's going to be times that he's going to tell you things about the people that he's wanting to gather. And there'll be times that he might even tell you something to do for them or to say to them or something that he wants you to give them. He knows what he's doing. Don't sell those people short. Let them do whatever he has you do. I know I'm getting off my message a little bit, not really. I know a minister in heaven now that one time the Lord told him to cut a load of wood for this old cranky old man that nobody liked in Jonesboro. Cut him a load of wood. And that man cried. And then about a month later, the Lord spoke to him. He said, you go cut him another load of wood. It was in the winter. He cut him a load of wood. That man cried. Came to his church, got saved, gloriously saved. What did he do? The shepherd said, cut him a load of wood. That's what he did. Brother Tony was told by Jesus that I was going to receive a wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost. He told me that. I was scared out of my wits. What is that? I didn't ask him what it meant, but I looked at him. I thought, ooh, wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost. You know, what's that? I'm thinking that. He looked so peaceful, so calm and pleased. I thought, well, I guess I'm going to like it. So I come to their church. He's black. Nobody else is. Now, keep in mind, I'm from Northern Illinois, not Southern Illinois. Never been in Southern Illinois. Never had biscuits and gravy until I was 21. Pretty shocking, huh? I had had cornbread. I could count all the times my mom made cornbread. She's from New Jersey on one hand before that. And it wasn't good because she didn't know how to make it. And I think about all these people in the South eating all this dry cornbread. Oh my gosh, they don't have anything good to eat. So anyway, so we go in this church, and I think I told you, I had long hair, tight jeans, a shirt that looked like you could have plugged it in the wall and it flashed and glow. And this is a young black minister that invited me here. He's the only black guy. All the men are clean cut, short hair, conservatively dressed. The women that meet us at are long dresses, long hair. And I think to myself, oh, God led him to a redneck church. And immediately, this is where I'm getting to my point with this, though. Immediately, people were very nice to me. I know I didn't look like them. Pretty obvious. I just a wayward kid. I was a wayward kid. But they treated me with so much love and gentleness that I calmed down. And any time in that service, because there were several times in the service that I got a little bit, you know, unsettled, there would be something God would use to calm me down. But there's, let me tell you something else about that service. The shepherd had his eye on me. The shepherd had his eye on me. I was sitting in the third pew, because that's where Brother Tony was, on the left, and right across the aisle was an 85-year-old grandmother by the name of Grandma Fite. Little, thin, little woman. And we weren't given any program, which I wasn't used to in a church. You give them a program, so at least they know what you're going to turn to, what you're going to do. No program, so I noticed that. And during the song service, we're singing out of hymnals, I hear across the aisle someone saying, "Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus." And I look across the aisle, and Grandma Fite has her little arms up in the air like this, and she is loving Jesus, and she, the expression on her face is like the glowing expression of love of a 16-year-old girl seeing her, the boyfriend that she'll love her whole life walking down the sidewalk. And I looked over at her, I looked at the songbook, and I thought, those words are not in the songbook. And I looked at her again, but I could see that she was loving Jesus. I could see that she was loving Jesus. And I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. And then they had testimony service, and I was the second one up. Because at this point in the service, this was remarkable to a wayward boy like me. So much freedom. People that love God. People raise their hands. Well, I tried to raise my hands. They only went up that high. But, you know, I was fascinated. And I told him, I'm thankful that I'm here. I don't remember anything else I said. But I said that. But let me tell you, as the service went on, there was some special singing, and I began to feel something. I had felt it before, but I began to notice something. And it wasn't, the people were being used by the shepherd. The shepherd was aware that one of his lost ones, completely lost, was in the fold. But he wasn't reconciled yet. Jesus saw me. Jesus was working. And I began to realize that I was in a holy place. And the only vile thing in the whole place was me. And I got under conviction, and I was so under conviction, I couldn't sit up, I couldn't breathe. But I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't leave me like that. That night, they had a guest evangelist who was sitting on the first pew on the other side, facing away. He did not see me. The church isn't like this where it was on an angle. It was straight. And so I don't even know that he could see me from the pulpit when he got up. But this man, if you ever meet him, do you know who Brother Gibson is? Mike Gibson? Okay. If you ever hear Brother Mike Gibson preach, you won't wonder whether he loves to preach, because he loves to preach, and he's a very demonstrative and fiery minister, loves the Word of God. You couldn't chain him to that pulpit. He'd drag it around. But I want to tell you something very unusual. I know him well now, but he didn't finish his message. But while he was preaching, and I was doubled over in the pew, I sensed that the words were not coming from there. I was sitting over here, and it seemed to me that the one speaking was standing right here, speaking right to me. And every word was going right to my heart from here, not from there. Because my sense was, it wasn't the man up there that was speaking to me anyway. I knew Jesus was talking to me. And then finally, Brother Gibson said, "I perceive that someone is being drawn to this altar." And he gave the slowest and most long drawn out loving altar call that I have ever experienced. And finally, after many minutes, I managed to say, Jesus, if this is you, you're going to have to help me because I'm too scared to move. That was my prayer. And another young man, by the help of the shepherd, went up to the altar, raised his hands, and began to tell Jesus that he loved him. The shepherd gave me a perfect service. I needed it. I went to the altar. I raised my hands with my dirty heart, because that's all I had to raise, to Jesus. And I got a wonderful personal experience of Jesus Christ accepting me, taking me, dirty me, loving me. The more that I told him I loved him, the more I began to feel his love come centering around me, like closer and closer and deeper and more beautiful, loving me, loving me. And you know something? I thank the Lord for this. Praise God. Hallelujah to God. I know the moment that my sins were released, and I know the moment that the Lord went beyond that to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I was gloriously, gloriously filled, overflowing. The only thing that was wrong with the entire Tuesday night service, and I won't go into all the glorious details because God is always personal. What God did with me is not exactly how he does with each one of you, because he deals with us personally. He's, for every one of us, he's my Jesus. Every one of us, he's my Jesus, my Jesus, my shepherd. The Lord speaks and we say, yes, Lord. Why? Because he know his voice. He's speaking to us. Praise the Lord. But after a while, I realized this. I started coming to myself. I was crying and laughing at the same time, saying, no, 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 because I didn't want him to stop. There was two ministers left in the place. It was 12:30 at night. They wanted to lock the doors and turn off the lights. And I went home, brand spanking new, laid on my back in the bed, and the Holy Ghost tucked me in. And the next morning, I woke up looking up and said, Lord, are you still here? And he was. But here's my point in saying all of that. After that, I've always wanted that anyone ever come to God, especially where I am. I mean, not me just because I'm here. I want to be part of a congregation that when someone that needs Jesus, or someone that has been hurt, or someone that is sick spiritually, or someone that is lost, or someone that just needs to be accepted and loved and brought to the shepherd, that God might have his way, that the shepherd might have a perfect service for them, like he did with me. The shepherd sees his sheep. The shepherd sees that there's a lot of sheep round about that are hurt, that are scattered, that are broken, that haven't had a very good experience, that are gun shy to this point. But let's go look at something before I get done with this. You know, one of the beautiful things in God, Jesus said, I do the works that my Father gave me to do, and I finish those works. Let's look in the scripture what he said he was going to do. Therefore will I save my flock, and they will no more be a prey. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he will feed them, even my servant David. He will feed them, and he will be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I want to read just a few more things, because the shepherd, we want to see How does the shepherd look at them? How precious are these people to Jesus? How precious are we? You know, one of the things that I love to think about, because I know it's true, when we're here worshiping Jesus, and there's that lovely presence of God, and we're loving Him, while we're loving Him, He's loving us. When you tell Jesus, I love you, Jesus, Jesus feels that. When you tell the Lord, you are worthy of all praise, He feels that. He enjoys the fellowship that He has with His sheep. He sees, He feels it, He relates to us, He loves us. Let's look for a moment in John, the 21st chapter, the 15th verse. In this story, this is one of the times that Jesus had appeared to His disciples. Peter had said, Jesus had already appeared to them before, but He hadn't appeared for a little while. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And about six other disciples said, we'll go with you. They had fished all night. They'd caught nothing. When morning was come, there's a man on the shore that says, have you caught anything? And they say, no. And he says, cast on the right side, you'll find. They do and do. Find a lot. Fill their nets. And John says, it's the Lord to Peter. Peter jumps in the water, swims to the Lord. They get to the shore. Jesus tells them to bring in the fish. They dine. And then Jesus turns to Peter. And let's look at what He says to him. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And I think to myself about Wednesday night service, feed my lambs Wednesday night here. There are children that you invite that probably some other churches might not want you to have in their churches. But Jesus loves those little children. He says, feed my lambs. And then He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto them, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's a blessed thing when we, with the help of the shepherd, look past anyone's appearance and invite them in. Jesus will say in one day to come, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison or was sick, you visited me. He'd say this to the righteous, and they'll say, when did we see you when you were hungry? When did we see you when you were naked and clothe you? When did we visit you in the hospital and when you were sick or visit you in prison? Jesus will say, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least, you did it to me. Glory to God. Then Jesus goes on with Peter and He says this. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And He says unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. And He said, feed my sheep. Now there's a progression here. He tells him to feed his lambs. In the Greek, that second time, it's feed my little sheep. And then it's feed my sheep. That first Sunday of the month, when I went over to that nursing home, I want to tell you something that I found out. I sat with the people there as Sister Debbie and Brother Verlin were bringing in the people in their wheelchairs. And I began to feel how the Spirit of God felt in that little place. And I could feel a very pleased shepherd. Very pleased. Now, there weren't a lot of people there. There were a handful. But in my spirit, God was pleased. Because God came to seek and to save. Jesus came to seek and to save. And when we, following the shepherd, gathering with the shepherd, doing what he has us to do, even if it's a little thing, it's not little. And the words that are sowed in the hearts of those people become the hope, which is a real hope. You know, I know that Virginia, Sister Virginia, went on to be with the Lord this week. I got to meet her. I have no fear whatever. Because once people have put their entire heart's trust in that loving shepherd, and once they've been taught, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and they're instructed into the kingdom of God what they should do, Jesus' sheep hear his voice, they'll follow him. And you know, one more thing I think about, and I love this. When I was a young Christian, they would sing songs about heaven. They didn't move me very much. I was 21. Didn't know anybody much in heaven. I have a lot of brothers and sisters in heaven now. Glory to God. I know a lot of saints in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And you know something? Let me leave this thought with you. The Bible in one place in John says, he that believeth on me shall never see death. A minister one time mentioned that. They had gotten him up to testify. He brought up that scripture. He said, when a saint of God dies, when one of Jesus' sheep passes away, we see them die. But that's not what they see. They see the shepherd. Praise the Lord. The view from the shepherd is a view that we need to take to heart and work with him.